Genesis 2. We're still talking about death. The Hebrew concept of death was separation from God. The Greek and most pagan cultures' concept of death is death. We have talked often in the past about that the whole idea of what we can physically and have some idea of, if we are separated from something that we love, then, or even the fear of separation, then that causes some weird phenomena to take place in us. Separation, because it's considered death, what's considered life in us as hunks of protoplasm is sex. And so the idea of the fear of separation or the actual separation, it can only be, in a natural mind, it can only be overcome by, you know, the concept of sexuality. Does everybody understand that or accept that, maybe?
Well, like, you know, fertility rights were there for...
Right. They were a way of...
...offset the fact that what happens when you die, you know,
expressed in the Temple of Diana, wasn't it?
Oh, just about every pagan temple there was. And when Israel was apostate, then they had temple prostitutes, and both male and female, and male they called dogs. Well, that's what's translated here anyway. But there's no way that we can conceive of as a living being, when we are when we come out of the birth canal and are separate, and the umbilical cord is cut, from the standpoint of that tiny being or you and I, that was a deal bigger than any of us ever even know about. And we used to kid around and say, all men are trying to get back into the womb. Anyway, let's go to verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Now, that's an awkward translation. In the Greek, the Hebrew, it says, "In dying thou shalt die." And so it emphasizes this idea that it takes away the real meaning it brings back into focus the Hebrew meaning of death, the idea that in dying you shall be separated from God. So in dying thou shalt surely die. The piece that John wrote about Harry was, you know, talked about his whole idea of romantic... Did all of you read it? Anybody not read it? This idea of his romantic fixations or over-loving women. Well, it was because of Harry's is fear of death. And so, and there, he's not the only one here that is like that, because then you fixate on something in the past that's really just a, probably more than likely, a false memory. Because that is where you felt this union, this connection, and you try to gain it by romantic love, and it never works. And so the idea of Harry, really, he was, if you could boil down into a sentence or two of Harry's life, he was trying to avoid death up until the last few months. And this is important because it's something that each one of us has to deal with. Because this thing up here, this evil one, this mind of, not just mine, yours too, it tries to keep us in the fear of death, in the fear of separation. And yet it's successful always, because the end result of all of the things that your mind does is to bring you to the point of aloneness and separation. That's why your mind, my mind, every man's mind has never been our friend. It's always dangled something in front. We try to attain it, and even if we retain it, we still end up with a feeling of separation or this sense of death. What, Gary?
I'm thinking how ultimately evil my mind is, because it will give me understanding of this concept, and that will be satisfactory to me. And yet I'll live my life out the opposite of what my mind understands. So it's like it's ultimate trickery.
That's why I keep asking you if there's something you want to talk to me about.
I'll love when you ask
you
that.
Huh?
Just keep on asking.
Yes.
You know what I mean. What?
Good morning.
So, you sure you want to draw attention to yourself here? But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die, or in dying thou shalt die. And then the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field. And it's interesting, the juxtaposition there. Anyway, no, I won't go there. And every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. Now, as we've said so often, in order for the fall to happen, because prior to this, Adam had no, it was really almost probably impossible for him to ever have a sense of separation from God. He was only aware of God and outside. He had no awareness of himself. And that innocence was to be transformed into holiness by antagonism, the same thing that's going on in time and space now. And so in order for him to be able to be tested, he had to name things. And for it, because in naming them, once you name something, then it's separate from you. And so you had to have the potential for that separateness. And he also had to have the names before God created the woman. Because then instantly there would be separateness. A little bit? What? You understand? Agree?
The last sentence caught me.
What?
When he created the woman, there would be separateness.
Because he named, he automatically then, from the time of the naming, he named everything, and he then named Eve. Now, Eve isn't her name in in Hebrew, it's another name that I can't remember, but Eve is a name that the Greek started here when they did the Septuagint, that they named the name Eve, but it's has nothing to do with that. But anyway, that's another story. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he woman, and brought her unto Adam. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Now this is critical, because again, because of the naming, now the fall could happen. They could be tested to be, I mean, before naming things, there would have been no reason, no, it wouldn't even have entered his mind to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It would not have been testable.
And before naming, there was that command that wasn't given, was it?
Well, it was the same. I mean, the commandment was given before the formation of man. Am I just
you
babbling here?
Guys, and blames this on the woman.
Well, it's immaterial. That's a non-issue.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but women and snakes.
No, that's not. Don't, let's not go there. Let's not bring all of our biases into this. The thing that I'm trying to get to is this the reason that we must have the mind of Christ, the emptiness, the total and complete emptiness. Even the names that we have learned to give to things is a tradition of man. Even the names that Adam gave things was a tradition of man, because Adam named them, not God. And so to return, that's why except you become as that little child, that darling infant, you can in no, and be converted, you can no wise enter the kingdom of God. Because at the you must return to that state where you, before your self-awareness, but the only way you can return to that state before self-awareness is to have been aware of everything that's in your capacity to be aware of and find out there's no there there. And so instead of religion being something of the how-tos and what you should do and what you shouldn't do and how you should behave, and the Bible has nothing to do with that. The law was given in order to show you to shut up your mouth, to shut up all these possibilities. And so when we teach children to behave, in other words, to circumcise themselves, then they can never be free, because they will live always in their mind. This is why Christ said, if you've thought it, you've done it. And it's because as long as you have the capacity to think that I want to do this and I want to do that, Ronnie, and I want to go over here and I want to meet this perfect person, Kayla, and all of these, and I want to remember that perfect woman that's in my imagination, Gary, and all these things, then you can never be free.
Aren't the traditions of men of God, though? Didn't he create this entire thing?
Yeah, but man fell.
But he created that.
He created the capacity to fall. He didn't create the fall. That was sin that created the fall. Okay. And we're going to get to the snake in a minute. But the reason all this is so important, Harry lived in his mind. He loved to sit around and he'd hear, and his whole deal, the reason he ever came here in the first place was because of what I said about time. And that just blew his mind. And so he then thought this might be interesting. But he tried to understand this mystery of God with his mind. And so therefore he kept giving life to the snake while he was trying to understand the mystery. Until the last few months, and then he was wow. And so it's critical for each of you to see from Harry's witness is that you don't have to play these games anymore. If there's something you think you want to do, go do it. Don't insult God or the body by standing around and thinking, oh, I want to go over this and I want to do that and I want to do this and I want to do that. Go do it. Because that, by just living in your mind, you always are lukewarm. You can never have, zeal is impossible. Because your imaginations are your life. And that's just air. Now with these idiotic things, you got video games that the Second Life, where now you can have your imagination of your imagination run around. And so you live in this, and you can never know the emptiness and futility, so therefore you can never be apprehended. Because God isn't going to violate your will. Am I communicating? All right.
Just as a comment, when you brought Harry up here, that he is that picture of a believer who's pushed out on the edge and doing everything, but, and yet the mind is out there on the edge too, except the last month or so when he saw and the mind quit doing its thing.
His mind was shut up for the most part.
Yeah. That, you don't want to see this part without seeing that part.
But the point is, it's not that you shut up your mind as some kind of rule. It's you push it to the maximum.
That way it doesn't need to be shut up because it's already gone.
You already see. Yeah. There's no one that can say, who told you you were naked?
Right. Because you did it yourself. It's not for it.
And that's the purpose of life. The only purpose. But oh, how you still have your sweet thoughts. And they're just absolutely goofy. What?
But if you happen to have one, what must one do?
If someone else was to have one.
If someone else were to have a sweet thought.
Then take that thought to the end.
Run it.
Don't stop at some sexual climax or some, oh, if I could see myself in that position. Oh, thanks. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath not God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now again, there ain't no talking snake around here. The serpent is a metaphor for your mind, her mind. The mind is Son of Man. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. He never said, don't touch it. That's the whole issue. That's what your mind does. We're never going to get to where I want to get. When the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God knoweth that in the day you eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit herself and did eat and gave also unto the husband with her, and he did eat. Now, you have to know that before she had just misinterpreted, she said, I can't even touch it. So you can imagine, she had to take this humongous gamble to reach out and touch it. She touched it and she didn't die. You see where I'm coming from here?
Yeah.
And so then, God must have made a mistake.
What was her concept of dying?
We can only, obviously, I don't know. It probably was the same as ours, separation.
Cease to exist. Cease to exist.
I don't know.
Must have seen animals die. Maybe that was the company dying. Drop dead.
Well, at this point, it's before the fall.
Yeah. All right. And when the woman saw it, and in verse 7, the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made them aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? And that's what we're going to talk about. Now, naked just means that you need a covering, or you need to have something else, or something, you know, something else needs to happen. Something needs to change, something. Who told you you were naked? Who told you you had a need? Who told you you wanted this? Now, who told you you needed a new truck? Who told you you needed a this or that or this or that? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And anything that I think that I want must be cast down instantly, because it is a lie. Until that happens, you're going to continue over and over, going through the same process, because God isn't going to violate you. He's not going to, until the last moment, when it's too late. So until we come to the place where we lose the capacity, we lose the capacity by confessing it. We lose the capacity to think that any moment in time should be different than it is in any way, then we'll have to continue this over and over, over and over, over and over. And the word of the Lord will be unto you line upon line, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Where with mocking lips will he speak unto this people, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, until you go forward and fall backward and are snared and taken. And you go forward and then you fall backward because you've seen the emptiness and futility of all of these ridiculous efforts. And you're snared, you're apprehended. And you no longer would even consider using that which is cursed to gain that which is blessed. Now, in a nutshell, Harry, for all those years, he kept trying to get it right, trying to do the right thing, trying to fix things, until he got sick. And he knew he was going to die. And then at that moment, he understood the mystery of God. He understood that he was complete in him now. He was perfected by one offering. That everything in the universe was perfect. Now, for you, let his death be a revelator. Amen. Anybody have any response?
When God says, who told you you were naked? Just when you were talking, I heard the emphasis on that, like the who, because you know, there's not that many folks around. You know, it's like me and you, and that's about it. You know, and it's like, if I haven't told you something, then you dreamed it up yourselves, and it's got to be wrong.
It came from the evil counselor, you. It came from the Antichrist, the instead of Christ, you. And so rather than, you know, the freedom and the glorious liberty of this mystery of the children of God, oh God, no, not again, it's going to happen, oh, blah, blah. Anybody else?
Well, just as an extension of that, I was thinking about in the New Testament, Jesus talking about every idle thought. You know, I mean, those are the idle thoughts. Those are those things that don't have anything to do with what God has told you. You know, you're just kicking around and you're brought to judgment unless you slay them.
The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every single thought to the obedience of Christ. And as I've said so often, that simply means there is no thought that you can have that can stand against. You've been perfected by one offering. You need nothing.
It's like the ultimate conundrum. Because what else do we have but from our own perception, what else do we have but our minds to grasp this with? And yet we hit the wall when we realize our minds can't grasp the thing that we think we're supposed to be grasping, seeking out. That's our tool.
Because you have to go through the process so that you come to the end of you. But you can't stop it. I know, I'm on the way to Jerusalem, but I'm going to stop at this. This is a pretty nice place. Or you're the egg going up the birth canal the sperm going up the canal, and you find out, no, I'm going to stop here and build a city, and I'll start a religion. You got to go to the egg where you lose your identity. Well, what do I do about this, Oli? You haven't heard a word I said. John?
I'm thinking that these words, who told you you were naked, and we've talked about them before, and I said I think they're the most chilling words, that, you know, the self-consciousness, the awareness that we have. And I'm thinking, I'm relating it to Harry, and I'm realizing that at the end, Harry had no self-awareness. The poor guy was laying there, you know, for all to see, people poking at him, prodding him, people he didn't know saw him, and he didn't care. I mean, so all the self-awareness that he had when he was here, like the rest of us, was gone. It was totally gone.
One of the funniest things he did was, even if the air conditioner was on, he'd pull off his hospital gown and pull off the cover, so he's laying there buck naked. Nobody could tell him, you're naked. Please. If you don't understand what we've talked about, talk to somebody. Talk to them. If you do, then stop doing this. Stop doing it the stupid way again. Abandon yourself. Pick up your cross. and you will follow him as natural or more natural than breathing, because he is your life. No, I got to sit back and think about it for a while. What? Kayla.
The very short time that I had with Harry, and the even shorter time, I was telling John Bojo on Sunday morning, watching the doctor happen, was, like I said, it was one of the most, thank God, mind-blowing experiences I'd ever had, and how grateful I am to be amongst a body of people where all of that is possible at every extreme.
All the rebellion and all the obedience. Just right here.
Right here. Very good.
Anybody else?
Yeah, just as a witness to what we're talking about, I'm sort of imagining morning Bible study, memories of Harry sitting right there.
I know, me too.
And many, many times when he was trying to figure out something, you know, from strength in his mind. Very articulate, but that position. Then also many times later, after he got sick, where he basically said, you know, to paraphrase, who am I to get in the way, you know, of God?
Amen.
Yeah, and you know, there were years when he would exhort me. I mean, he you know, it was like, it wasn't just like the last couple of months. You
know, no, I know.
Getting down towards this light, you know. And it's like Judy was saying, where, you know, been saying, I'm not afraid to die, you know, which that could have been a response to this whole thing, but it was also, you know, seeing something. And like, I think he, whenever he ran into you, he was more, you know, on the edge about something. But a lot of times, you know, there was much wisdom,
yeah,
coming,
clarity,
from Harry,
exhortation.
But you know, one thing. Nobody has talked about it, talked around it. Nobody has talked about how much they loved him, and vice versa.
What do you mean nobody's talked about it?
I mean, they've never said it. They've
of course, I said it. I said it in tears several times.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Well, I may have been a spook at the switch. It is early. But I want to bring it up again because I didn't know him that long. And I'm watching everybody else's reaction. And I wish I'd known him more and longer. Because it's like somebody has taken a piece of everybody else. Anyway.
Now, just be happy for him. Take a big guy. 7 o'clock tonight at 6. We need some volunteers up here to go over and help set up the chairs and stuff.